This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to this Monday afternoon edition of Tiki and Tierney here on CBS Sports Radio. I'm Tiki Barber, hosting solo today. BT is getting his back done. Got a broke back. Don't take anything into that, Samter. We're coming to you live from the Quicken Loans studio. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. We have a good show coming up for you today. Lots to talk about. It's almost overwhelming amount of things to talk about, including the U.S. Open, which was brutal condition-wise out there this weekend. In fact, they had to change the course. We're going to talk later on in the show to Kelly Brook, who's the president and founder of Bethpage Golf Club, which is hosting, Bethpage Black is hosting the PGA Championship next year, 2019. So she can give us some insights on what it's like to play golf out on the island. Obviously, Bethpage Black, being one of those fabulous golf courses in our country, has hosted U.S. Opens before, but she can give us some perspective on what was going out. That is in the 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific hour. And then later on, I know your World Cup lovers are looking forward to this one. Brian Strauss, who is a Sports Illustrated soccer writer, is going to join us in our 5 o'clock Eastern hour, 2 p.m. Pacific, to talk about all the things that we should be up in arms about, curious about, whatever you want to call it. Mexico wins, Messi misses, Brazil gets beat up, and they're complaining about it. It's soccer. That's why we call football football, not football soccer like they call it internationally. But obviously the lead story today is about the U.S. Open and Brooks Koepka, who becomes the third back-to-back winner of U.S. Opens, and he did it in pretty dramatic fashion out at Shinnecock Golf Club this weekend. You can get me here at Tiki and Tierney on Twitter. You can call us at 855-212-4227. But my initial thoughts on this were, obviously, it was Dustin Johnson's match or Dustin Johnson's tournament to win, taking a 4-shot lead into the weekend. And all of a sudden, you thought that after his momentum coming in from the tournament the week before, that he was just going to run away with it. But as Shinnecock Hills did to a lot of people, it took its toll on DJ on Saturday. He shot a 77 and just looked clueless at times. 77 and 7 under par. A couple of really bad holes got him off track, and that opened the door. We went into a 4-way tie coming into Sunday, and Brooks Koepka ends up getting matched with his workout buddy and friend, even though they didn't say a word to each other on the course on Saturday, which I thought was kind of baller. You know, sometimes golf gets that friendliness about it. It's, hey, that was a good shot over there. Hey, they were serious, and it was nice to see. But Brooks Koepka does what very few people have done in the history of the U.S. Open, our national championship, our United States national championship, winning back-to-back tournaments. And he did it in such a compelling way, it's hard not to talk about it. Brooks, obviously, on 10, 11, 14, and 16, those were the holes that ultimately saved the day for him. A blind shot he had on 10, which was, you know, I don't know how many yards it was, about 120, 30 yards away from the green. It was a blind shot. He knocked it within 7 feet and then birdied it. And so much of what makes his game so good is he was one putting. And if you go back to last year at Erin Hills, he did the exact same thing. On 11, same thing. He had to save one putt. 14, he got is a par three. He got between 9 feet getting on the green. He had the one putt to save par. And then on 16, the same thing. He birdied 16, which set him up for the ability to just two-putt on the 18th green, knock in 2 shots for bogey, and walk away with the championship. And I got to tell you, when you look at this kid, he doesn't look like a golfer. He looks like a football player. He looks like a safety. He looks like he has an athletic bend to him that comes from the Tiger Woods era of training. And it was compelling. It's why I liked watching him. He's quiet. He's very to himself. He doesn't have loud demonstrations or flashy fist pumps. He just goes about his business like he's a badass. Let's listen to Brooks Koepka on winning on such a tough course that Shinnecock presented this weekend, not just to him, but to everybody out there. Here's Brooks.
To everyone at Shinnecock, this golf course, for opening it up to us, allowing us to play it in some of the toughest conditions. I just want to thank everyone that allowed that possible, and thank Shinnecock and the superintendent for getting this golf course and everybody that helped with the golf course setup. And it really, really was testing this week, to be honest with you.
It was testing, and now he's being generous because he won. If he hadn't won, I'm not sure his tone would have been as thankful as it was there, because it was difficult and it was hard to be penalized when you hit a perfect shot because the greens weren't holding. In fact, they were so tough that the USGA decided to change the hole positions from Saturday to Sunday, and actually made them very simple on Sunday, put a lot of them in the middle of the green, and also they watered the greens to slow them down. You can always tell when you're watching golf when the greens start to turn brown and it looks like a muni as opposed to a PGA majors course, that it's way too dry and guys get punitive. And we'll talk about Phil Mickelson's decision on 13 to stop that punitive from a ball rolling from happening on his behalf. But here's Mike Davis, who's the USGA CEO, on how tough this course played and some of the changes they decided to make.
We want to really test execution, but what we don't want to see is where well-executed shots are not only not rewarded, but in some cases are penalized. And we saw a few examples of that today, and that's not what we wanted.
Now, it isn't what you want unless you're just a casual golf fan. I actually enjoyed watching guys struggle. I enjoy watching professional golfers look human out on the golf course when they do something exactly perfect and it doesn't work out how they expect it to work out. And why? Because it makes you think, right? So much of golf, and you see these low scores sometimes in major events, it's you know, negative 12 under par or 15 under par. Even last year when Brooks Koepka won out in Erin Hills, it was 16 under par. It almost gets too easy, and it feels like whoever can be creative enough is going to win. And this U.S. Open at Shinnecock Hills didn't reward creativity. If you tried to get fancy and put a little extra spin on your shot coming into a green, you stick it right next to the hole, you had just as much chance of it spinning off and rolling back into the fairway than you did to have it stick at the hole. I like that because it makes you be mentally tough. It makes you think about what you're doing as opposed to just routinely doing what you always do on these beautiful golf courses that are exclusive and nobody can get on. Shinnecock Hills leveled the playing field. And that's why a guy like Brooks Koepka was able to win. It's interesting when I go look at his history, his Wikipedia history, and it gives you all the things, all the tours and all the travels that he's made. He's played in Japan and Scotland and Spain on the European Challenge Tour, ultimately on the European Tour. Eventually in 2014, he started playing a lot of PGA events. And in 2015, he finally decided to get off the European Tour and just stick with the PGA. And he found a win almost immediately at the 2015 Waste Management Open out in Phoenix, which you guys all know if you watch golf is a raucous event. It's crazy out at the Waste Management Open, but it also takes focus in order to win that. So he wins it in 2015. Then you go look at the rest of his resume. There's only two other wins on tour, 2017 U.S. Open, 2018 U.S. Open. And why is he able to do that? In my mind, it's because he's not a flashy golfer. He's not the guy who's going to make that beautiful twisted shot that hooks around a tree and sticks right on the green and rolls right where you want it to be. He's methodical, and he thinks things through. So when he gets a curveball, like every one of these golfers got over the weekend, where these perfectly dialed up shots don't stick, when you get a curveball, what are you going to do? You're going to lock in and change your game plan. And that's what Brooks Koepka was able to do. It's what he did last year in Erin Hills when he ran away. Four-shot win, I think he had over Hideki Matsuyama. Hideki Matsuyama last year, four-shot stroke win last year. And then this year, he was putting the ball exactly where it needed to be. And most importantly, his mental toughness to not get sucked in to this, God, this green is so fast. Man, if I miss this on the high side, it's going to slip all the way down. If I miss it on the low side, I'm going to have no chance coming back. He didn't think about those things. Mental toughness is something that doesn't always get rewarded in golf. It certainly rewarded Brooks Koepka at the U.S. Open because he dialed in and did some great things. There was a lot of great stories around Brooks, including one which was pertinent because this weekend was Father's Day, and I hope that everybody had a fantastic Father's Day. I know that I did. Samson's got a story for us about his Father's Day, which we'll get to here in a little bit. But Father's Day is a chance for us all to celebrate those men, if you had men in your life, that raised you and built toughness and built the right things in your life. Now, I grew up without my father. My father and mother divorced when I was very young. And so my father figures had to take on that role. Those were my coaches. Those were some of my teachers, friends, dads who would teach me the things that were important that young men have to learn, especially when you're raised with a twin brother. And the story about Bob Koepka, who is Brooks's dad, who at 12, when Brooks decided that he was going to be a golfer because he made the high school golf team at 12 years old, he told his dad that I'm going to quit in school, and when I'm 16, I'm going to turn professional. And the story is his dad stopped the car right there, pulled over to the side of the road and said, you're going to high school, you're going to college, and then if you're good enough, you can turn pro. And that's exactly what he did. Sometimes, especially in 2017, 2018, kids feel like they can do whatever they want, that mom and dad can't tell them what's right and wrong. It was refreshing to hear this story about a dad telling his son, this is how you're going to do it, and you're going to do it the right way. And it worked out for Brooks Koepka because he had to grind. He ground his way into the PGA Tour, playing in places all across the world that aren't prestigious, that aren't on the PGA Tour. He wanted to be on the PGA Tour when he's 16, 17 years old. His dad said, earn it. And the thing is, when you earn something, you appreciate it a lot more. And that toughness from earning it is, I think, why Brooks Koepka is a repeat champion at the U.S. Open. And here's the thing. His life is completely different now, right? If you win one major championship, and Brooks Koepka, who I think I'm not sure a lot of people knew a lot about last year when he won at Erin Hills. And we all remember the setup out there. It wasn't fan friendly. It wasn't as if you had great shots. Remember, Fox did that, and it was tough to get a good feel of what was going out on the course just because of the layout. We knew Brooks Koepka because he won, but other than that, we weren't. Oh, Brooks Koepka is going to be the guy. But now you win two majors, and they happen to be two U.S. Opens, America's national championship, back-to-back, and do it in such difficult ways that showed your mental toughness and in stories about your father, you know, pushing you through and persevering through these early stages of your career, that makes you a household name. Brooks Koepka stepped on the map in a amazing way at the U.S. Open, and all you can do is tip your hat to him. Because it wasn't easy. It broke similar men. It broke better men, probably, those who have more major championships, like Phil Mickelson, like Dustin Johnson, like Jordan Spieth, like Rory. All these guys faltered and failed. What made it different for Brooks Koepka? He had a mental toughness, and he didn't let the coolness factor get to him. Focus on what you got to do. Do what you have to do the best of your ability. And come out on top. That was Brooks Koepka, and I loved it. And I loved the fact that the course was hard as hell. I loved that these guys couldn't master it, and it took someone who had a mental toughness, the mind of like a football player, to get it done. Maybe I'm biased because I played the game of football, but I love this. I love the way that this tournament turned out. And those that were crying about it, well, you don't know contact sport. Golf isn't a contact sport, but Phil Mickelson, he did something that a contact football player probably would do. We'll get to that coming up in a second because Phil Mickelson did something on the golf course on Saturday that had people screaming and yelling and calling for him to be DQ'd. He even reached out to Mike Davis and said, should I withdraw? Tell me the rule. I think Phil Mickelson's the smartest guy on the course. Just nobody's giving him credit for it. Tiki Barber here for Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio. Much more coming up on the other side of the break. This is Tiki and Tierney. Are you working up a sweat when you're out on the field? Well, that's one thing. Breaking into a sweat in your car, That's quite another. If you turn on the AC in your vehicle and hot air comes out, it's time to take some serious steps. So get your vehicle to the coolest place in town, O'Reilly Auto Parts. It's Murray AC Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts, and while your AC may eventually need professional repairs, O'Reilly Auto Parts has what you need to make it through the hottest months of the summer. Summer can be bad enough. There's no reason to drive around and then look like you stepped out of the sauna. It's gonna be hot for a good while, but if it's cool, there's a good chance Murray makes it, and O'Reilly Auto Parts has it in stock. Everything from refrigerants to Murray AC compressors. So not only do you get what you need to make your ride cool and comfortable, you get it with great service, great parts, and guaranteed low prices. Don't let summer spoil your cool. It's Murray AC Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices, every day. Welcome back to Tiki and Tina here on CBS Sports Radio. I'm Tiki Barber. Lots going on in the world of sports right now. Currently, England and Tunisia are knotted up 1-1 at the World Cup Group G. Belgium won earlier today. Lukaku, just like saying his name, Lukaku, he scored 2 goals. And Ax said this in his update at the top of the hour. Barry Trotz, who is the head coach of the Capitals, resigned today. He's only there for 4 years. It's really interesting. We got to find someone who can maybe give us some insight into that. Samter, maybe we should reach out to somebody because that's some pretty big news. 4 years he was there, scored 100. They scored 100 points as a team almost every year, wins the Stanley Cup, and then walks away. That's just, I don't know. There's something deeper to that that we should probably try to find a way to get to the bottom of before the show is over, because that's pretty big news as they are still celebrating, at least Alexander Ovechkin is, with his, with the Stanley Cup, still celebrating their championship, and their head coach resigns. Very interesting. Phil Mickelson, let's talk about this real quickly, because everybody is up in arms about this, and I get it, right? I get that you are supposed to adhere to the rules of the game, and especially in a sport like golf, you do exactly what you're supposed to do. You don't sneeze or drink water or do anything while someone is getting ready to take a shot or putt. You don't walk on their line of their ball when it's on the green. You do all of these things perfect. You shake hands, you tip your cap, you et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But you also were trying to win. There's many ways to position what happened to Phil Mickelson on Saturday. For those who missed it, I'm sure if you watch sports at all, you didn't miss this one iota, and everybody's talked about it. But on the 13th hole, he's lying four. So he's on the green, lying four. He's trying to putt to save bogey or to get bogey. You're not saving anything at that point. But I guess at the U.S. Open at Shinnecock, saving bogey is actually probably a good thing. So he's trying to get bogey on 13, and he putts it, and he crushes it. I mean, absolutely crushes it past the hole. And as he walks over, he's just staring at it. He thinks it's going to stop, and he's like, man, I got this comeback here. And then he sees it start to tip and roll down the hill again. Now, what doesn't get talked about, everybody says, oh, he just lost it. He got frustrated. No, he didn't lose it or get frustrated. He realized that his putt was going to roll down off the green, maybe into the bunker, but probably onto the in, back into the fairway. So instead of waiting for that to happen and standing there like a gentleman and watching it happen, he runs over and hits it. Why? Because he's aware of the penalties and the X's and O's. I draw this parallel to that defensive back who thinks he's playing great defense. He gets crapped on by a double move and is standing still on the 25-yard line while the receiver behind him is on the 40 or 50, wide open, about to go score a touchdown, and he runs up, and before the ball gets there, he tackles him. Now, it's an enormous penalty, right? It's like a 40-yard penalty. But at least he didn't give up the touchdown, right? It's a bad penalty, but at least he didn't give up the touchdown. That's what I say Phil Mickelson did. He's looking at it. He's like, oh, no, this guy's going to score a touchdown. Let me go tackle him. And he goes and he tackles him, knocks the ball, in this case, the putt, back towards the green and marks it again, right? He took advantage of a rule. And it's a decent rule, right? You know, you can't hit a moving ball. I mean, obviously, it's an obvious rule. You don't hit a moving ball. Just like in the NFL, you don't tackle a receiver who hasn't gotten the ball yet. But if you know your beat and you know you're about to get lambasted because of what's going to happen, go tackle the guy. Go hit the ball back. Now, The rule is, and I forget what number rule it is, but the rule is you can't hit a moving ball. There's another rule that says you can't materially give yourself an advantage. And that's what people were calling for Phil Mickelson to be DQ'd. In fact, he called Mike Davis after the round and said, I am fully willing to withdraw from the tournament because I don't want to be a part of a major championship. But please clarify this rule and tell these people on social media, I guess actually regular media, what the actual rule is, so they should stop calling for me to DQ. Here's Phil Mickelson talking about why and he hit this moving ball, and then we'll discuss it on the other side.
I don't mean disrespect by anybody. I know it's a two-shot penalty, and at that time I just didn't feel like going back and forth and hitting the same shot over. I took the two-shot penalty, moved on. It's my understanding of the rules. I've had multiple times where I've wanted to do that. I just finally did.
I think it's smart, right? Why not take advantage of the rule? The rule is you can't hit a moving ball and other than get a two-shot penalty. And now if you know you're laying four, you just have struck five, right? You're going to roll down the hill. So now you're not holding your putter anymore. You're pulling out a wedge, and Phil is great at these great, you know, flip shots, but they weren't rewarded at Shinnecock this weekend. So if he's going to go down there, hit six from off the green, which who knows where it's going to land, probably right back at the same spot, which is what he was alluding to. I didn't want to hit the same shot again. He was going to have to go flop a shot back up to right where he hit it before and take that same putt that he just grossly missed again, which is putting seven, likely to come back and hit eight. So he figured he's going to get 8 to 10 anyways. Why not just keep my putter in my hand as opposed to going to try to create some flop shot, some miraculous flop shot? If he even does it, he could skull it and hit it in the other side of the green, and all of a sudden he's hitting 12. This is actually smart on his behalf. Here's Phil talking about all the criticism, because he got roasted criticize-wise. Maybe it was deserved. I don't think so.
If somebody's offended by that, I apologize to them, but toughen up, because this is not meant that way. It's just simply I just wanted to get on to the next hole, and I didn't see that happening at the time.
So he takes his 8 and then his two-shot penalty, and he continues to go on to the next hole. Everybody gets up in arms. Phil was in no position to win. He finished 48th, tied for 48th. Maybe he deserved to be, I don't know, 64th, whatever it was. Maybe he should have deserved to finish last. No, he couldn't have finished last, because the last place finisher was plus 26 for those that made the cut. But whatever it was, get over it. Well, I don't understand why people are so up in arms. Like, are you up in arms about this? He did something that was within the rules in order to gain a couple strokes, because he didn't feel like being out there hitting the same shot, playing the same nonsense over and over again. 855-212-4227. Does this upset you? Or are you like me and say, this is pretty genius on his part, right? He knew he wasn't going to win. It's not about placing or positioning at this point. He knew he wasn't going to win. Why not just go make it easier on you? I like that. Are you upset with this, Sifter?
I was not upset or offended.
You're
but
not
I was,
a golf
I was disturbed.
Purist, so don't even.
Why no, I'm not. I'm definitely not a golf purist, but there's something about, I'm a sports purist.
Okay.
And there's something, I understand certain rules say certain things, and I get
right.
it.
So you don't like when a DB intentionally, when whoever, Darrell Revis used to get toasted at the end of his career. You wouldn't want him to just tackle the wide receiver instead of giving up a touchdown?
No, I hate the PI penalty right now. I think it should be a 15-yard penalty.
Okay,
so
whatever.
It's, not so
it's intentional. If you intentionally foul somebody just to get an advantage or keep from them from scoring a touchdown, you hate that too?
I don't love it, but this feels a little bit different just in the sense that...
Because it's a gentleman's sport,
it's not
right?
even that it's a gentleman's sport. It feels like, yes, he's taking advantage of a rule, but there's also there's something that just feels... I don't know, unsportsmanlike about it.
No, here's
because,
why.
Because when you tackle the other guy,
yeah.
you're tackling another player well, because you got beat. It's one-on-one, you got beat.
It's
this is
thing.
Him versus himself.
Stanford's
and so he's cheating
thing.
Himself by doing this. And that's why it feels wrong
no,
to me.
No, it feels like he's cheating the game. That's why.
He's cheating the game, and he's cheating himself. And it just feels sad. There's no reason to do it other than impatience.
No, it's not impatience. He didn't.
He would have shot an 8, maybe a 9. He ended up losing himself a shot or two by doing it. I don't think he's shooting a 10. at the end of the day, it just it feels like he's just cheating himself, and it feels like he's taking the easy way out.
It's not just
cheating the game and cheating himself and cheating the score and all these things. It just feels like he's taking the easy way out, and we don't want to see players take the easy way
out.
You know,
here's why, and this I think I understand this a little bit. The reason why people are up in arms is because nobody does this in golf. Nobody does this, right? Everybody in golf plays it the right way. Good play. Look, that was a six for me. This is recreational golf. Someone who's playing not for money. Oh, that was a six for me. No, and it's full and damn well it was probably an eight, right? People cheat all the time in regular golf, but we don't want to see our professionals do it. We don't want to see them take advantage of a rule and try to, shortcut the failures that are awaiting them. If this was a regular occurrence, if other people exploited this rule and Phil Mickelson at the U.S. Open wasn't the first time we saw it, I don't know if we'd be so up in arms if it became commonplace. And if they don't like it so much, maybe they should change the rule. Maybe it should be an automatic disqualification instead of just a two-stroke penalty. I mean, then you could get mad at Phil Mickelson. Can't go get mad at Phil Mickelson. He's just exploiting the rule. What is wrong with exploiting a rule? Absolutely nothing. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227, and it's brought to you by GEICO. Great news is a quick way that you could save money. Switch to GEICO. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. I'm going to take your calls on that GEICO toll-free line on the other side of our Rich Ackerman update, but are you with me or against me? 855-212-4227. If he can exploit a rule, and it's a rule that's there to be exploited, why shouldn't he? Deacon Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Rich Ackerman has an update. Please. It's time to Ask the Pros, where you, the listener, get to ask us, or I guess me, today, a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply check out the link, cbssportsradio.com/askthepros, or tweet us your questions at CBS Sports Radio using the hashtag AskThePros. Be listening later on in the show when I will answer your question. And I hope you ask me about Phil Mickelson with your purist mentalities. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Tiki and Tierney here on CBS Sports Radio. Just Tiki Barber sitting in. BT is getting surgery. A microdiscectomy, they call it, on his back. So hopefully he's back tomorrow. If not, we'll see him on Wednesday, hopefully. But here's the thing. Ackerman, who does our update, he's, I disagree with you, Tiki. This is him speaking. And, you know, if this was the greater, I don't know, who knows what open, right? I'd be okay with it because it's the U.S. Open. I think it's out of line. This is why it bothers me, because people who don't follow golf religiously, right? Like my brother is a religious golfer. He plays all the time. All his friends are golfers. He knows all the rules. He plays beautifully. He's like a 3 or 4 handicap. If he was upset about this, I would get it. Right. But most people who are upset about this, they don't know the rules of golf. Right. Maybe they know them a little bit, but they don't know them enough to be this upset about it. And so they're playing like golf God, when all Phil did was take advantage of a rule. And a very frustrating day. Maybe it was his form of protest to the layout at Shinnecock Hills, which was very punitive. So punitive, in fact, that they had to change the layout, or at least change the they did change the layout one day. I think they shortened a hole because it was too long. And then they watered the other greens at another time. I mean, come on. 855-212-4227. Don't get mad at Phil. Let's get David, who's down in Dallas. Welcome to Tiki and Tierney here on CBS Sport Radio. David, what do you think, man? David, are you there?
Yeah. So my thing is, Phil Mickelson is one of the greatest personalities ever in golf.
Agreed.
In any sport. So if this guy takes advantage of a rule that is on the books, if the PGA doesn't like it, the PGA can change the rule. People who don't know the rule need to be quiet. People in society, they just love to complain for some reason.
Yeah, and a lot of this, Dave, is on social media, where you could just anonymously throw shade out there at Phil Mickelson. Call for him to be disqualified. Phil cheated. He's a cheater. No, he didn't cheat. He broke a rule. A lot of people break rules. You know, if you hit a ball when it's You know, it's rolling accidentally. That's breaking a rule. You know, if you drop the ball incorrectly, that's breaking a rule. If you do all these different things in golf, it's breaking a rule, and you get penalties for it. He realized what the penalty was going to be and decided to break the rule. It was a conscious decision. Let's get John, who's in Miami. John, welcome to TK and Tino on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, loved you as a player, loved you as a host.
Appreciate you, man. What do you think about this rule? You upset?
Well, okay, so first of all, I think it was an act of civil disobedience. It was really to call attention. He did it just to call attention.
You know what? I like that take, John. I like that. You're right.
I really do. I think he just – because this isn't the first time the USGA's had this problem.
Nope.
And quite frankly, I didn't enjoy watching the tournament just because, it's like there was windmills and alligators out there.
Yeah.
Just too much luck involved. Took the skill out of the players. There was a lot of just sort of bounce. But anyway, so what I'm going to say is there are times in sports where people do things, and it's sort of like the paradigm of the sport, which determines if it's bush or not. And people are basically in sports. I'll give you a couple examples. I'm trying to convince you of one where you would say, yeah, that definitely would be totally bush.
Go ahead.
So the first one is like, it's not really a rule, but like when you're in basketball, you miss a free throw intentionally toward the end of a game in order to get more points.
Finally,
yes. The spirit of the game, which is to make your free throws, but you're doing it in order to win. Nobody has a problem with that.
You're right. But there's no rule. The problem is there's no penalty for that, other than missing a shot.
Now I'm going to say in soccer, if there's a ball going in the goal and you're a defender and you grab it with your hands, okay, you're going to get a red card. You get kicked out. You're going to get a penalty kick.
Yeah.
But they might not score. Kind of considered bush, but most people would say, hey, smart play, take the risk.
Good analogy.
Or a
good example given the World Cup going on. Good job.
So here's the one that I'm curious if you're going to agree that this would be a smart play or
okay.
It would be bush and they should be graded for all time.
Go ahead.
Remember when the Saints in the Super Bowl, all they had to do was kick off and they were going to win the game as long as they didn't run the
kickoff back. Yeah.
And they're on the sidelines. I think it was Drew Brees who said, hey, I don't know about you guys, but we should be ready. If he's running back, I'm going to run out of the field. I didn't know what the penalty is, but I'm going to go tackle him. Okay, most likely the penalty would have been 15 yards. Ejection.
Yes.
I don't think they're going to put the points on the board.
And they win the Super Bowl. Yes. They'll have one play. John, they'll have one play. And it kind of reminds me, remember the Mike Tomlin? I forget the circumstances of that game, but it was Mike Tomlin standing on the sideline. He's clearly frustrated. Not dissimilar to the frustration that Phil Mickelson was showing, espousing for everybody else that was out there at the U.S. Open at Shinnecock Hills. They were just mad, upset because nothing was working that they were usually do very well. And Mike Tomlin steps out on the field and basically sticks his foot out to try to trip the Raven, right? And I forget who it was. Who was the Raven? And he didn't actually trip him, but it was kind of like right there. And that was what we're talking about because he's so frustrated, you react in a way that is outside the rules. Phil Mickelson... Yeah, Jacoby Jones. Thank you, Samter. I couldn't remember who it was. But it's outside the rules, and yes, it just rings as poor a sportsmanship. That one I can't fully get on board with because it's not a player in the midst of the game doing something and take advantage of a rule. This is a coach who's supposed to be on the sideline. But that's what Phil did. That's all he did, and I'm okay with it. Let's get to MJ, who's down in Phoenix, or out in Phoenix, I should say. Welcome to CBS Sports Radio, MJ. What do you got for us?
Hey, Tiki. So, I've liked all the comments you said. One of the things I really want to key on is the fact that if you know about golf, this is a rule of golf.
Yes.
And the reason why it's there is because if someone's tanking in a hole, it moves the play forward and you move on, whether it's a tournament or whatever. The second point, you made a really good point about if someone's going to score on your DB, if someone's going to score a touchdown on you, this minimizes that. The third thing is people don't realize is that Phil, he didn't care about this, but he did. He lost about $130,000 by this hole.
Yeah,
$130,000.
Wow.
So when you add all that up, there was a reason why he did it, right? And plus, the fourth thing, he was frustrated, right? He said, you know what, I got to stop this. Because as you said earlier, he crushed it. So he was trying to continue that momentum. So again, sometimes I get interested with the Twitter, because what happens on Twitter is they were crushing this guy and they didn't know it. You can't DQ him for this.
Yeah.
It's within the qualifications.
Right.
There's nothing he did wrong. He just knew the rule, which is different than the paradigm of what some of your other people that called in said, and you said that, right?
Yeah.
If you don't know the rule, you shouldn't comment on it.
It's all about the rule, and you can see it. He's like, oh, this is going to stop, and I got this hard putt now. And he's like, oh, no, this is going to go back down the hill. I'm going to have to take this flop shot again, probably get right back, basically play the whole, you know, last four shots all over again. Let me just stop it. Let's stop it and come back, and then we'll see what happens from there. I know I'm going to get a two-shot penalty. It doesn't matter because I'm whatever it was. I think it was 11 over at the time, maybe 10 over at the time. So it didn't ultimately matter. I mean, I commend him, and I think a lot of other guys on tour, and this will be interesting, if we can get opinions from the other guys on tour and what they think about what Phil did, because they probably felt frustrated the same way that he was frustrated. Let's get Oscar out in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, where BT was just on vacation. I'm sure BT did this multiple times and cheated in many ways on his vacation, even though he only played three times because his back flared up. Welcome to CBS Sports Radio, Oscar. How you doing, man?
Hey, good, man. I'm originally from Alta Vista, so I got to call some high school games with your boy Juan Thornhill.
Get out of here. Really? Oh, I love that. Yeah. That's awesome.
That's cool. But listen, here's the issue with Phil, is that right after it happened, he turned to Beef Johnson, and they were laughing about it. And Beef said, so what's that, you know, what's that do to your score? Phil said, I don't know. He told the USGA official that was walking with the group that he didn't know what the issue was. Make sure he told him before he signed his scorecard. So after he comes out of the scoring tent, he's changed his story that he knew what the deal was.
Well, he knew it was a penalty, but he knew he wasn't going to get DQ'd. You know what I mean?
I understand that, but to say that he knew it was a two-shot penalty when he did it.
Well, no, he actually carded it. He didn't know. I think he thought it was a one-shot penalty because he carded it as a 9. And then when he had to go back in, they revamped it to a 10. So he probably thought it was a one-shot penalty because, I mean, he didn't. I mean, he was frustrated. I get it. I 100% get it. I mean, everybody changes their story on retrospect. You think about it for a couple of minutes, you change your story. But Phil Mickelson was, I don't know. What, Sam? You're raising your hand in the back. I'm your teacher and you have a comment.
Excuse me.
Yes.
Excuse me, Mr. Barber.
Mr. Samter, you may answer this.
Mr. Barber.
You may speak now.
So here's my question. Is this more about Phil taking advantage of a rule, or is this more about the USGA and the PGA having to fix the rule? And if so, what do you think they should? I mean, should it be more than two shots? Should it be an automatic DQ? Or do you think that it's fine the way it is?
That's a hard one. I don't play golf enough, and I don't pretend to be a golf purist and someone who could think about the rules. Make them put an X there, right? That's what I would do if I was at this situation on the golf course. I think two shots sounds right. Or maybe just double par. Maybe double par makes it punitive enough for people to not do it. And it's easy to remember, right? It's not similar to anything else. It's not like, well, I dropped my ball incorrectly. Oh, that's a one-stroke penalty. Or, you know, I played the wrong ball. That's a couple two-stroke penalty. If you hit a moving ball on the green where you're trying to either get par or save or get a bogey because you're scrambling, make it double whatever the par is on the hole. So if it's a par 4, add 4 strokes. Par 5, add 5 strokes. That makes it punitive enough that no one is going to do it, at least intentionally do it, unless you really don't care, which honestly, I don't think Phil really cared at that point. He was struggling, man. He's so struggling. Let's get Dan, who's in North Carolina. Dan, welcome to Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, how's it going, man?
Good, man. How are you?
Pretty good. I just wanted to bring up another football analogy. I like where the last caller was going with it. Every time we see New England Patriots, let's say Bill Belichick, he opens up the rule book. He takes a look where he can exploit you know, the rules of the game. So all these callers, you know, that are upset as a spirit of the game sort of thing, they just have to change the rule. That's what it comes down to. You can't be upset that he's taking advantage of a rule. Meanwhile, Bill Belichick, you know, New England Patriots, they're geniuses every time they do it.
You're right. So. Right. When they are. And you know what? You know, interesting call, Dan, because you're right. The NFL changes rules because of the New England Patriots messing with the rule book. And we all remember this. Was this against the Ravens, Samter? It was against the Ravens where they had one of their running backs, I think it was Deion Lewis, but he's the running back lined up on the line of scrimmage, flexed way out, right? And the other two guys were off the line of scrimmage inside of him. In actuality, he was the lineman, right? He was like the end of the line of scrimmage. The other two guys on the inside were the wide receivers. And so the Ravens were confused because they have to send a guy out to basically cover a guy who can't go down the field. It was an exploitation of the rule. So they changed the rule, I believe, to be, you know, like right inside the tackle box. The down lineman can only be inside the tackle box. But before that happened, the rule was a down lineman could be anywhere on the line of scrimmage. So you can put your tackle, theoretically, or your running back posing as your tackle right over on the sideline. And it confuses you. And so the Pats do that all the time. If they know there's a rule that they can gain a competitive advantage on, they are going to exploit it. And that's honestly what makes them so good. Right? They get so much flack for all the stuff that's happened in their history. But to be honest with you, it was just rules that everybody else tries to break. They just don't do it as well as New England and Bill Belichick does.
But outside of being great Super Bowl champions, do we not also think of them as, you know, Spygate and Deflategate and then this thing?
First of all,
they pushed the boundaries so far.
First of all, Deflategate was nonsense.
Sure.
Absolute nonsense.
But they pushed it so far.
The NFL studied the universal gas law for the entirety of the 2017 and 18 season. Have we seen any of that data? No, because it probably backs up the fact that the ball deflated naturally when the weather is below 30 degrees, right? And Spygate, everybody did Spygate. They were just stupid enough to do it on the sideline and have someone whistleblow them, like their former head coach or former assistant coach, I should say, who's no longer a coach, because you don't screw over Belichick and coach in the NFL ever again. Father's Day was this weekend. Samter's got a story. It's a pretty amazing one, too. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.